You all may have heard that saying before about putting out a fleece. Maybe you've known somebody who has done that. And that's putting out a fleece based on this story that we just read here in Judges, where Gideon putting God to a test after the Lord had just met him. And when we met Gideon last week, we had seen that he was hiding out in the wine press for a fear of the Midianites, threshing his wheat in the wine press, not on a threshing floor, but down in a hole in the ground, because he was afraid and fearful. And we had seen how God had confronted him and God had met him in his fears. And last week we talked about that and what fear can do in our life and paralyze us as well. But in the midst of his fear and doubt, God had met to him and said, "I am calling you, I am sending you, Gideon, to bring deliverance to your people." Have we seen through the pattern in Judges that every time Israel had fallen into sin because they had forsaken the Lord and they had fallen into sin, and God sent discipline to judge them, they would cry out to the Lord and God would raise up a judge, a deliverer, a savior who would save them during that time. Today we're going to look at the ultimate savior, Jesus, who God sent. But as Gideon was, as the Lord spoke to him last week, God said, "I am sending you." But Gideon had his doubts and he had his fears. So he said, "I'm going to put the Lord to a test." He summoned the nation together, called them to arms, but before he led them into battle, he wanted again to test whether God had really called him. So he got a fleece of wool and he put it in the floor of the threshing floor. And he said, "Lord, in the morning when I get up," he said, "may the ground be dry and this fleece covered with dew." And so he got up the next morning. That's exactly what happened as we read it. The ground was dry, but the fleece was covered with dew, so much that he wrung a bowl of water out of it. But that didn't convince Gideon in his fear and in his doubts. And so he said, "Lord, I'm going to test you again. This time I want you to make the opposite happen." Because Gideon thought, well, maybe the ground, the dew just absorbed because the fleece is like a sponge. He thought, maybe it's just absorbed the water like a sponge. So he said, "I'm going to try it again." So he reversed it. Said, "This time, Lord, I want you to make the ground wet and the fleece dry." And that's exactly what happened. There's been a lot of people that have taken this practice of putting out the fleece to say that's a good way to find and determine God's will and leading for our life. But is it really? Because as I studied this week, a lot of the commentators that I've read said that putting out a fleece is not really a sign of faith. It's really a sign of doubt. Because Gideon placed that fleece in doubt, not in faith. And he said, "Lord, if you really do this for me, then I want you to prove it to me." God had already told him what he wanted him to do. God had already revealed himself to him in his presence, but that wasn't enough for Gideon. He wanted more proof. Sometimes we do too. And a problem with putting out a fleece is it can often create more doubt. Let me give you an example. Suppose you said, "If so-and-so calls me, you're applying for a job and you're trying to decide whether this is the right job for you, and you say, if I'm to get this job, God, then have the boss call me by 7 o'clock tonight. And if he calls me by 7 o'clock tonight, I know that that's your will for me to have this job." So the phone rings at 7:01. And it's the guy calling you and say you have the job. What do you do? Do you take it? Or do you take it from a sign from God and say, that must not be God's will because he didn't call by 7. But you know what could happen? Maybe your clock was a minute fast. Maybe it wasn't 7:01. Maybe it actually was 7 o'clock. You know, and it can put more doubt in our life. Because putting out a fleece isn't really the best way to discern God's will. It's right here for us. God had given him. It said we had seen in verse 34 that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon Gideon. And God gives us his Spirit to direct our life, and he's given us his word. And that's all we need. But Gideon needed more proof. He needed this sign to be seen. Well, today, as we focus in on the Lord's table, and coming to him, God has given us a sign as well. We don't need to be asking him for anything else. We don't need to be asking him for another sign to prove anything to us. Because he's given us a sign, and the greatest sign that he's given us is the cross. Because through the cross, God has communicated a lot to you and me already. And he's revealed that to us. And so it's to look briefly at this story, and we can discover five things about what's significant, about the cross being the sign, because the cross is the sign that's God, you and I, is given. No other one is needed. The Lord had already told Gideon, when he put out this fleece, he said, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you promised, then make this happen for me." But the Lord had already clearly told Gideon what he was going to do. If you drop back up, when the Lord spoke to him, he said that I am going to, verse 14 said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" The Lord had already told Gideon what he was going to do. He didn't need another sign. The Lord has already shown us through the cross. But Gideon had doubted God's word. God had promised him victory, but he doubted the word of God. You say, well, what's that mean for us? Well, this. Because God has already shown us through the cross that he's loved us, that he forgives us, that we have been forgiven through the cross, that he died, he shed his blood, he paid the price for you and me, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, and he forgives us, and it's done, and he's told us that. But sometimes, you know, we doubt that, don't we? We doubt, did he really forgive me? We doubt, if I confess my sin, will he really take it away? Did the cross really pay for it? Is the cross enough, or do I need something else? We have those feelings sometimes. And that's basically what Gideon said. Lord, is your word enough, or I need some more proof? But friends, the cross is the sign. Jesus died. He shed his blood. He paid the price. As we come and take communion this morning, we celebrate the fact that this is his body broken for you and for me. His blood was shed to pay the price. Nothing else is needed. Praise God, right? No other sign is needed. The cross is it. It's the only way. And we don't have to doubt whether we will be forgiven. Because he has paid for it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. I want you to see this verse because this is significant in how it ties in. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 41. It says, "Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you.'" The Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, had a hard time accepting Jesus for who he was or why he came. And they said, "We want to see a miraculous sign from you. You got to prove it by showing us some sign." And Jesus answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." This one. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus said, no other sign is given, needed. It's right there. The cross says it all. That Jesus died, he paid the price, he rose again. Whenever Satan comes and makes you doubt whether you've been forgiven, when Satan comes and makes you wonder, is grace enough, or do I need to add something to it? Look to the cross. That's the sign. The cross settles it. It's complete. It's done. Praise God, right? No other sign is needed. What Jesus did there was sufficient. His grace, his blood covered it all. Second, we see that the cross is the sign that God is patient and forgiving. As we go back to Judges, and we look at this story. In chapter 39, and verse 39, after Gideon did the first test with the Lord, he said, "Make the ground dry and the fleece wet," and the Lord did that. Verse 39, Gideon said, "Don't be angry with me, but let me do this one more request. by Gideon making that statement, he kind of sensed that the Lord was really what he was asking of the Lord was really not in best. It wasn't really what God would be pleased with. But yet, we see that God did what Gideon asked for. And he made the ground dry and the fleece, or made the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew that second time. And God did what he wanted, what Gideon requested. What's that tell us? It tells us that God is remarkably patient. God was remarkably patient with Gideon. Even in the midst of his fears, even in the midst of his doubts, even in the midst of his insecurities, God was remarkably patient with him. The cross shows us that God is remarkably patient with you and me and forgiving. That when Jesus died there, his words from the cross was, "Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing." And God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. So when you see the cross, let it remind you that God is patient, God is forgiving with you. Yes, he's holy, he's just, the anger of sin was made, but yet it's to show his patience, his love, his forgiveness that he has for us. As you come to the table this morning, come rejoicing in that. That as you receive the bread and the cup, rejoicing in the fact that God is forgiven, that God is patient. He is long-suffering, does not hold our sins against us. He remembers that we are but human. Third thing we see is that the cross is the sign that deliverance has been won. That our deliverance has been won and provided for. Back in verse 13 and 14, when God first came to Gideon, the Lord said, "I am with you, mighty warrior." And he said, "If the Lord is really with us, then why has all this happened? Where are all the wonders that our father told us about? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian." But the Lord said to him, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Gideon wanted proof that God would bring deliverance through him. And when the Lord said to him, "I am sending you to save Israel," he says, well, prove it. Where have you been?" He said, "Why did you abandon us and allow us to be conquered by the Midianites? Where have you been in the midst of this? And where are you, God?" And we looked at that last week as he was speaking out of his fear. But God had already given proof of his deliverance through, as he says here, that he snatched you from the power of Egypt and by the hand of the oppressors, and I drove them out before you. And then he says, "Did not God bring us up out of Egypt?" He had mentioned that the deliverance was already there. God had shown his power to deliver in the past by bringing Israel out of Egypt, by bringing them through the Red Sea. God had shown that he is a God of deliverance. He didn't have to prove it to Gideon. He had already showed it to him. Gideon already seen his power to deliver. The cross is our proof. It's our sign that we have been delivered. We don't need any more signs. We don't need any more doubts. We don't have to doubt it. It's the cross proves it. Because the cross shows and demonstrates that the price has been paid. That the debt has been canceled. And that our sins have been forgiven. Praise God. "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you eat it," Jesus says, "eat it in remembrance of me," remembering that through my body, the atonement, the sacrifice was made. "That this is my blood, shed for the forgiveness, the remission of your sins and mine. That as often as you drink it in remembrance of me and what I've done." We don't need another sign. The cross is the sign that our deliverance has been won. Gideon, in his lack of faith, asked for more proof. God, if you're going to deliver Egypt, if you're going to deliver Israel through my hand, then prove it to me. I need to see it. But God says, no. The cross settles it once and for all. Thelma, you played that song. The cross settles it. And it's done through Jesus. And the fourth thing we see is that the cross is the sign. We don't dictate the terms. Because Gideon, he came to God and he said, Lord, if you're really going to bring deliverance, then do this. Make the fleece dry and wet. He put God to the test. Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Satan came and tested him, and the Lord said, Jesus said to him, it is written, don't put the Lord your God to a test. One of the problems with putting out a fleece is it dictates to God, and we make the demands of God, and we make limitations to him. We say, God, you do this or else. We don't make any we don't make any terms to God, do we? He's the Lord. He's the potter. We're simply the clay. Today, this applies that the cross is the terms, the sign. We don't dictate the terms because in our world today, it's not popular to say there's only one way to heaven. There's only one Savior. That the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and that's the only way, and any other way does not get us there. That good works don't save. That none of that really matters when it comes to salvation. And that's not popular in this day. And people try to change the terms, don't they? Or try to dictate to God and say what the terms should be on how we get into heaven. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't work that way. God has set the terms. The cross is it. There's no other way except through Jesus. There's no other way than what he's done for us right here. Through the bread and the cup. That's part of the problem. Putting out a fleece is it limits God. It makes us get demands on him and dictate to God, and we don't dictate anything to him. He's the Lord, and he's the one who calls the shots. And the fifth thing that we see is that the cross is the sign. We walk by faith and not by sight. Gideon had to see it. It wasn't enough that the Lord had spoken to him and given him his word, but he had to have proof. He had to see. And he had to see it tangibly before he would believe. But God has called us that we walk by faith, not by sight. We were not alive when Jesus was crucified on the cross. We did not see him die. We did not see him rise again. But it is by faith that we believe that. It is by faith that we believe and trust that what Jesus did for us there 2,000 years ago is true. And we don't have to see it. We trust and we believe by faith. We don't have to have it proven to us. We are called and we're saved by faith and we're called to walk by faith. Turn with me to John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, after the resurrection, after Jesus Christ had come up from the dead, he appeared to his disciples, to all of them except for Thomas. Thomas wasn't in the room that day. And then the disciples said, we've seen Jesus alive, but Thomas didn't believe it. And beginning in verse 24 of chapter 20 of John, it says, now Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he told them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it. He said, I have to see it for myself. Same thing Gideon said, I have to see it, prove it to me. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to my Lord, my God. And then Jesus said to him, told him this, blessed, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. It's by that faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we come in celebration of what Jesus has done for us and accomplished for us there. We come in remembrance, and this table is that. It is a remembrance, a memorial meal of celebration of what Jesus has done, that our sins have been forgiven, that we have that peace with God through him. So come this morning, remembering that the sign Jesus has given for us on the cross, nothing else is needed, no other way is needed. That he is patient, he is forgiving. The cross demonstrates how much he loved you in the midst of our sin. That it's a sign, again, that our deliverance has been won, has been purchased and paid for. That we don't dictate the terms to God. We come before him, and Jesus said that if we want to be his disciples, we've got to take up our cross daily and follow after him. And that we walk by faith and not by sight. For Jesus has done it all, and we trust him. Gideon placed his fleece out of doubt and fear. It wasn't the best way to determine God's will. God had already spoken to him and made it clearly to him. God had revealed himself. God had given him his Holy Spirit. Today, God speaks to us through his word, has given us his Holy Spirit, and this is our main source of direction in discerning God's will. And as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, he will reveal that to us. And he will lead us. As we prepare to come to meet our Lord at his table this morning and to celebrate him in communion, to remember what he's done, let's prepare by a prayer of confession and consecration as we always do on Communion Sunday. If you're able to kneel and want to, please kneel, or else you can remain seated in your hip pew if you want to, or else kneel with me. But let's prepare ourselves to meet with the Lord at his table. Let's go to prayer.